Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man, giving bad men bad looks. Prince amongst thieves and crooks. Want bad women, bad cars, bad hoods, bad dudes. I'm making my own rules.
Episode 209, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Indeed, 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 it's the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Wanted to take it back for you a little bit. I'm sure that many of you know that theme song. The theme song was from like 15, 16 years ago. I think it was 16 years ago, actually, when the heel turn commenced. Because I think Armageddon 2000 was the six-man Hell in a Cell match, and he was a heel at that time. But I am Chris Featherstone, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 209 of the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We have an action-packed show tonight. It is the go-home show to WrestleMania 32, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, we had to bring in the heat tonight, and we're going to have, for the next 3 weeks, actually, we're going to have some fun, some incredible time. This actually is part one of three, really the whole month we're going to celebrate, but this is the first start of the celebration of our four-year anniversary. And before we have our special guest tonight, let's just talk about our four-year anniversary. Derek, this is the first day of our celebration. And can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? Can you believe it, Derek? 4 years.
You said 4 years, right?
4 years.
Wow. I can't believe it. I mean, the first episode, I think, was like in the morning or something like that. And I'm just like, yeah, this isn't going to work. But we wised up in the evenings now, perfect time, West Coast. Anywhere you are, you have access to the internet. You're going to listen to Pancakes and Power Slams. And if you don't, then we have no use for you anyway, because you don't know what's hip. You don't know what's exciting. We've gone strong. I still can't believe 209 episodes. 9 weeks ago was our 200th episode. So yeah, we just keep going. We're just like the Energizer Bunny. Nothing's going to stop us.
That's right, man. Just keep going and going and going. And, yeah, it's you know, the first one, I believe, was a pilot episode. It was in the morning. We did it like 9 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And, yeah, it was just really trying to straighten out the kinks and just really trying to, you know, from an analytics standpoint, just seeing when a good time was to really draw a good crowd. And, you know, I think it was like the second or so episode, you know, we hit the 11 o'clock mark, and just people just gravitated to the show. We spiked, and it's been history ever since. And I'm just really excited about just what we have in store and the fact that we are here for 4 years strong. It's just absolutely incredibly amazing. And we got some WrestleMania stuff. We got a bunch of stuff going on. But just, I mean, what's your fondest thoughts, or what's just your sum total summation of thoughts regarding the 4 year anniversary?
I just can't believe it's here. I mean, 4 years from now we'll be on TV, and we'll be on ESPN, and we'll have 90 minutes to just kind of go off. It's going to be the highest rated show. Everyone's going to love it, and it's going to go nowhere but up. I can't believe it's 4 years. I mean, so many times it's like, should we keep doing this? Should we keep doing this? It's like we looked the numbers, and it was just, we were in the mud. It was just, but I mean, that's why you start. That's how every business starts. Nobody, for a business, they're $1 million customers. You know, it doesn't happen that way. We put our dues in. We've had so many phenomenal people on the show. I mean, that just keeps getting more credible. And you hear the people, the names been on here. It's going to gravitate and bring more big names on here. And it's, you know, it's just what brings them in. People love wrestling. It's a cult following, and you know, you're going to get it. You're going to get the people to listen, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. And we stuck with it, and here are 4 years later, almost to the day, and still Pancakes and Power Slam, still the best thing Tuesday's ever offered for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we are going to celebrate part one of our four-year anniversary show with none other than the bad man himself. Listen, he's a bad man giving bad men bad looks. Prince among thieves and crooks. One bad woman, bad cars, bad hoods, bad duels. Ladies and gentlemen, he is making his own rules. None other than WWE Hall of Famer Rikishi. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing good, my friend. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, absolutely, man. So let's get to it, man. You got a really, really action-packed weekend. You know, a lot of people, they have their own WrestleMania parties and their WrestleMania events, but you have something unique. You have something called the Territory League. Now, many people know about your Knox Pro Wrestling, but for those who don't, for those who are living under a rock for some reason, let them know about Knox Pro.
Well, as we're sitting here speaking, I just walked into the hotel. Me and the Stars of Tomorrow from Knoxville Academy, pretty much most of the students that will be debuting here at the 1010 Collins in Arlington, we just drove in with the whole production, the whole nine, like 26 some hours, and here we are. We're here to make a statement out here to mix it up with the world, people that are coming to watch WrestleMania. And we just want them to, we want to give them an opportunity to be able to see a new concept of professional wrestling. We have what is called the Territory League, and it's pretty much city teams versus city teams of all the divisions representing their cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. So what's the bell time? So it's the first through the third, right? It's a series that you're having for 3 days, and then it's right by the stadium, right?
Yes, well, it's actually at the 1010 Collins, right across the street from the AT&T Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You pretty much, it starts from 12 to 4. And it's actually the April 1st and 2nd, which will be Friday and Saturday from 12 to 4. But on Sunday, we're having us a big Samoan Dynasty party. So that's
nice.
A VIP type of gig. I think that, I want to say we're the best ticket in town to where you're able to come and pay $75. You get to eat and drink all the beer and all the food you want Plus, you get to have a meet and greet with the Samoan Dynasty and the Knox Pro Academy Stars of Tomorrow. And also the teams from the Territory League that will be debuting, the team of Dallas Tycoons, will be here also this weekend going up against Amarillo Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
And also a team from Bay City Union, which is the team from San Francisco. So I encourage everybody to come check it out. Check out the Territory League. It's a unique concept. Again, it's a platform that's given for you and I. Know there's so many professional wrestling kids and independent kids that are out there that will probably never get a chance to grace the big stage. And here in the Territory League, we're making our way across the country to be able to give them that opportunity, not only to represent their city, but also to be able to perform on a big stage. And the unique thing about the Territory League is when you walk into the Territory League arena, you'll see a wrestling ring, obviously, but then you'll see two cages on the side of the ring, somewhat of like a hockey holding tank. And that'll be like the locker room for the boys to be able to be up front and center with the fans. So we don't really have a locker room in the back. That when you come in there, you'll see them right there, dead smack in the middle, right by the fans and so forth, so they can hear everything that goes on in the professional wrestling. And, of course, at the end of the night, the teams that wins the most matches, of course, wins the tournament.
Wow,
so I encourage
awesome.
Everybody to check it out. You know, it's a new twist of wrestling. You know, we've been, you know, me and my family in the Samoan Dynasty been a part of the WWE for well over 5 decades. And we just kind of, you know, I guess I want to say that I'm kind of the scout that's looking out for new talents to be able to bring out there for the fans. You know, since I have nothing but, you know, a lot of time and enjoying time and relaxing and to be able to train the new students of professional wrestling and give them that true knowledge of what this industry is all about.
Yeah. How long has Knox Pro been in operation?
Knox Pro out of Los Angeles has been in operation for well over 7 years.
Nice.
And I'm very proud and happy to say that, you know, one of the top, if not the top, heel wrestler in WWE today, Rusev, he happens to be one of our graduates from Knox Pro.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing his thing, and we got a few more other students that, you know, are actually getting ready to go into to the WWE, but that remains to be seen. I want to shock the world when they tell them where they're from.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
I mean, you know, Rusev, I mean, you said it well. I mean, you know, he's got a big WrestleMania spot, you know, this coming Sunday. And, you know, just to, I'm sure, you know, for him, for you to really kind of groom him to be in the spot that he is now, I'm sure that says a lot, you know, just for you and your staff, just because it's character development too. Because, you know, I think that's, you talk about territory leagues, and I think that's something that a lot of people, a lot of these new age fans don't really understand the power of just the sum total of a professional wrestler. It's not just a stellar wrestling match. It's the character development that comes with it. And I think someone like Rusev encompasses all of that. Just good wrestling skills, but he has a very, very good character too. Was that something, the whole Bulgarian thing, was it something that you helped groom before he went to the WWE?
Well, yeah, we all kind of worked out. I mean, he's a shoot Bulgarian, you know, so we just try to, well, what we do is we try to find the strong points of different kids that walk into the academy. And, you know, we try to work towards that and kind of mix it into professional wrestling. Yeah. From my experience, if you're not comfortable with the character, it's no way the character would work. And so we try to gear the kids toward and find out what is their strong points. Like we have some that, you know, come from gymnastics and so forth. And so we try to utilize their background and incorporate it into the wrestling. And this way try to find some type of a character where they can utilize their strong and their strength to be able to have that character come alive. So, and you know, the success of Rusev, I mean, number one, I mean, on a shoot level and on the personal level, he's just a wonderful, humble, hungry, grateful, thankful type of guy. You know, what you see on TV when you meet this cat in person, it's just probably one of the nicest cats you'll ever meet. And he's worked his tail off. Everything that he's gotten and continue to get, he belongs where he's at. He's one of those guys that the kids or the new students that will be coming, walking through those doors, he'll be one of those type of OGs to where the kids are turned to for advice. Because yeah, he's the full package all the way from locker room etiquette and how to carry yourself and just, you know, just stay out the mix and do your thing, do what you're there supposed to be doing, and just, you know, enjoy the ride.
Yeah, that's awesome. Before you go, two other people that you were talking about. You're talking about Samoan Dynasty, and of course we know two people who are going to be very pivotal parts of WrestleMania 32. That's a part of the Samoan Dynasty. One being, of course, The Rock, who's supposed to be a big pivotal figure, a pivotal person in WrestleMania 32. So I know you had some really good some really good moments with The Rock, and of course, you know, we still know you did it for The Rock. So let's real quick, let's relive that angle. It was so so interesting. So that was your Batman heel turn. And just relive that for a moment. Just let us know just how you were feeling when they, you know, gave you the nudge and the go ahead to be such an instrumental part of the WWE at that time.
Well, I was reluctant at first. I mean, when Rikishi took off,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was probably one of the toughest. I want to say, if not, you know, winning the tag team straps with my cousin Samu as a head trigger is one of the top moments. But when Rikishi hit that top spot, you know, it was the right timing for myself. Pretty much unexpected for everybody. They didn't see this blonde hair, 450-pound guy wearing a thong was going to get over so big and be in a household name till today. And, you know, when that came about, I mean, it was already a no-brainer for me. Number one was that, you know, to be able to work with your family member is always a pleasure and always, you know, it's always a fun part of the business to where part of your job to go out there and have fun and to be able to create magic with your family members. And but who better to work with, you know, I mean, probably if not the most – entertaining guy in entertainment itself, you know, Rock. And then, you know, this guy here, you can never go wrong working with this guy. Whether you have a bad match or not, anybody steps in the ring with The Rock, he's who he is, you know. And at the time, you know, I was grateful and thankful to be able to work with guys like The Rock, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, like The Undertaker, Triple H, and, you know, Kurt Angle. The list goes on. During the Attitude Era, you know, I was proud to be one of the top 10 up in there at that time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So was the Undertaker spot on sale, was that called before the match, or was that one of those in-the-moment things where let's give shock and awe to the crowd? That is still one of the most craziest spots in pro wrestling history. Please let us know just the petrifying thoughts that you had at that moment.
Well, you know what? You know, me coming from my background with my uncles Alpha and Sika, we were always taught, like, the hard way. You know what I mean about the hard way? Everything's hard. Getting hit with the head, you know, with the chair is hard. Getting hit in the back of your head is hard until you learn how to work. And it always taught us to seek opportunity. Whenever you're in a match, whatever that match may be, you need to see it coming and understand that opportunity that you need to take when it's the right time to take. And so when that Hell in a Cell came, number one, I was just happy to be a part of such. I mean, if you've seen the talent that was on that Hell in a Cell, we were the top of the top at the time in the Attitude Era.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, Rikishi was very happy to be a part of that. It was something that, you know, I've watched the Hell in a Cell before, and, you know, my memory came to when, you know, I think people don't even remember who won the match when Mick Foley took that big bump off the top of the cage onto the announcer's table. And so, you know, it was one of those things there to where, you know, in my mind, if I got a chance, number one, to be able to try to get up that damn cage, which I was, you know, thankful that I did, that I was going to take that this opportunity if it came about and let's do it. So, you know, I was willing and ready to be able to get up there and do what we do, you know, for the fans that pay their hard-earned money to come in there and to watch a pay-per-view like that. I wanted to be the one to take the bump and steal the show in that match. And, you know, I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that, you know, nothing seriously happened to me. You know, everybody got to see the fall. The story was made. The fans were happy that there was a big bump, as always expected in Hell in a Cell. And I'm glad Rikishi took that time to take it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you know, it was the first and the only Armageddon six-man Hell in a Cell that there's ever been. And that's a very unique thing. And you're a part of that unique moment. It's never happened, you know, before and never happened again.
Well, it's one of those things that, you know, it's just magic. You know, it's that type of magic that you'll always be remembered to be amongst the few that made that type of magic. And, you know, hopefully, you know, with all the talent that they have around, not only in WWE, but I'm talking about all across the country and all the different academies that are being taught true knowledge of professional wrestling. Hey, there's a lot of sleepers out here, and I can't wait till these sleepers here are given that opportunity to be able to perform. And this is the reason why I encourage everybody to come out and check out the Territory League. You're going to see talent that you've never seen, but I'm telling you, these cats here are well-deserving. They well deserve to be on a big platform and to be able to be seen by the whole world on TV. So hopefully that, you know, that we're given that type of platform for them to be able to fulfill their dream.
Yes, Territory League, ladies and gentlemen, Knox Pro Wrestling. Real quick, speaking of Hell in a Cell, who you got, Undertaker or Shane McMahon?
I'd have to go with Undertaker.
All right.
You know, we got to give the respect to the big man, and no doubt I think there's going to be an entertaining match. You know, I mean, Shane with his crazy bumps, who knows what type of bump he's going to take for WrestleMania. I mean, we're talking about the Super Bowl of Super Bowl of professional wrestling, and knowing Shane, Shane's going to bring it. He's going to bring something out.
Yeah. And then lastly, Samoan Dynasty, your boy Roman Reigns. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm a Roman Reigns guy. I like Roman Reigns. I don't understand the trolling that comes with Roman Reigns, the booing that comes with it. I mean, the guy gives his all every single time he's in that ring. And, of course, there were some rough patches, and, of course, a lot of people don't like the fact that he was kind of pushed down our throats. Of course, you know, that's the criticism. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you hear so many times that he can't wrestle. That is one of the most ridiculous statements that I've ever heard, because that guy goes in there and he gives his all every single time when he's in the ring. What is it about these fans that has so much disdain about Roman Reigns?
Well, you know, all due respect to the fans. I mean, without the fans, there is no Roman Reigns. Without the fans, there is no Samoan Dynasty. There is no Triple H. There is none of us. So the fans' voices, they're entitled to their opinion. And again, let's keep in mind that, you know, this wave that's going through Roman Reigns at the time, he's not the first, nor will he be the last. Mm-hmm. It's always like that. You know, I mean, hey, the guy, he is who he is. I know for one thing, as far as the rumors about him not being able to wrestle, well, I beg the difference, because I know he comes from a bloodline, which is called Samoan Dynasty. I know why he's strong. We all know how to wrestle, and I think and I know that we do it very well. And so I feel that in due time, you know, you're going to see Roman Reigns become Roman Empire in due time. I feel that, you know, I mean, it's kind of, let's take back, for instance, John Cena back in the day. Let's take back The Rock back in the day when people felt like they were just shoved down their throat and so forth. Eventually, you know, the people, they gain the people's respect, and the next year, you know, they were just loved by the whole world. And so I feel like, you know, to me, you don't want to go against the WWE universe. You never want to do that. To me, what works is to go with the flow. If you hate me so much like that, had it been me, I would tell you, let's switch me heel right now. Let's give it to these people. I'll be the baddest freaking heel they will ever see. And then due time, you would hate me so much when I do turn babyface.
You'll
well,
love
guess
me.
What, my friend? Guess what? You know what I mean? So it's a very simple fix.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, at the time, you know, again, we got to respect the opinions of everybody, and also, you know, those that buy the tickets to be able to come to professional wrestling, they have that right to voice their opinion, and it's with love and respect.
Yeah, well said. Awesome, Rikishi, appreciate you, man. Again, Territory League this weekend, April 1st and 2nd. Knox Pro presents the Territory League. 1010 Collins, right across from the AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Be there. www.territoryleague.com. Where else can they go for details?
And also they can go on flavors.com. You'll see it there. You can follow me at The Real Rikishi on all my social media handles, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm always posting up where you can get tickets. But keep in mind, fans, you know, $75 to be able to, if you love to drink beer and you love to eat food, we here in Texas and also love wrestling. I advise you guys take a stop over. You can still stop by us from 12 to 4. And if you have plans for the evening, you can still make those plans as well.
Indeed you can. Absolutely. Sounds like a fun time, Rikishi. Appreciate you on the show. Man, it was a pleasure. And everybody, be there. Knox Pro, Territory League, April 1st and 2nd.
Okay, my brother. Blessings to you. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Have a good night. Ladies and gentlemen, I had to bring it back, the old school WrestleMania theme song. I know each and every one of you felt it. You felt the spirit of WrestleMania, ladies and gentlemen. And my Vince McMahon voice. Well, without further ado, we're going to spend the next hour speaking about Raw and speaking about WrestleMania with the roundtable for tonight. Part one, we're having another roundtable next week. Thanks, Rikishi, WWE Hall of Famer, for stepping into the show to celebrate the four-year anniversary with us. Once again, Knox Pro Wrestling, Territory League, April 1st and 2nd, 1010 Collins, right across the street from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. So let's bring in the roundtable. First of all, the senior staff member of Crave Wrestling, without further ado, Ryan Fuqua. How are you tonight, sir?
Boy, what's going on, guys? Happy to be here. Great WrestleMania season. Hoping to get a crazy, fun WrestleMania.
Absolutely. And then the baddest co-host on the planet, Derek. How are you tonight, sir?
Oh, man, I had goosebumps listening to that old WrestleMania theme.
Yeah.
I just want to hear
Welcome
Vince
everyone.
McMahon. Welcome, everyone. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, great way to start off the roundtable. Loved it.
Thank you, sir. And, of course, from whatculture.com, he's in the videos with Adam, and he's just had a video recently with Nick Eugene Dinsmore. None other than Adam Socek. How are you tonight, sir?
Doing good, man. It's Andrew Socek.
Hey,
man. I think you said Adam.
Oh, no. Andy, I meant to say. Oh, goodness.
You're good. Yeah, I just
mentioned Adam.
Too, I understand.
Yeah. I just mentioned Adam. You don't have an accent. Yeah, but of course.
No.
Yeah, of course, me and Andy go way back a few years. We both were writers. We both were featured columnists for Bleacher Report. So we worked together for a few years, and very, very interesting stuff. And we both have went to greener pastures, him at What Culture and me at Sports Illustrated. So definitely Bleacher Report was a good catapult to successful careers for the both of us. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
Is this the Hogan Superdome Silverdome?
Yes, absolutely. It's the Silverdome in New Orleans, the New Orleans Silverdome. But, Andy, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to come tonight, man. It's going to be a very fun discussion.
Okay.
For those, it's 209 episodes. I'd imagine most of our listeners, or at least many of our listeners, have listened to the show before. You have been a part of the roundtable before, and you've always had some great insight and input. You were a part of the infamous post streak ending roundtable. Actually, everybody on this roundtable was a part of the infamous post streak ending roundtable at WrestleMania 30. So, wow, can y'all believe that was 2 years ago? Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
I still can't believe it.
Yeah. That was indeed. It was incredible. So let's get to Raw. So Brooklyn, New York. Speaking of Brooklyn, New York, I am having JTG on the show. He's coming back for a second time on the 19th. He just came out with his book today, part two of his book series. Why did I write this book? And, you know, there's an expert in front of that. So this time is Why Did I Write This Book Too? And I'm about, I think it's like 80-something pages. I'm about close to 60 now. And he gave me an advanced copy a couple of days ago. So I'm almost about 60 pages in. And as I'm reading, I'm taking notes because I know that I'm going to talk about a bunch of some quotes that he said. Because the thing is, if you haven't read JTG's book yet, he indirectly mentions people. And I want to keep it indirect, but kind of push the envelope just a little bit more of who he's actually talking about. So that's my goal when it comes to the 19th. So if you ever read JTG's book yet, read the first one and then read the second one, and then we'll talk about the book on the 19th. Ken Anderson is coming the week before on the 12th. And then next week, of course, we're having the roundtable discussion with even more people included in the roundtable. We're going to have a very prolific roundtable, eclectic roundtable for next week. But this week, I think it was very, very important to also have a roundtable leading into WrestleMania and talking about the go-home show overall. So speaking of that, you start off with an Undertaker in-ring promo. And, you know, here's the thing. Shane McMahon comes out, looks in phenomenal shape, by the way. The Muay Thai is really chiseling him up. And so they go back and forth. Taker kind of goes ABA, Taker, circa 2000. And he talks. He kind of gets in a I'm going to make you famous type of mode. And all of a sudden, you know, his rest in peace, dead man, kind of goes, kind of steps away for a second. It goes into the ABA mode. So, you know, the dialogue between the two was interesting, I suppose. But it led to just a sparring session between the two. And then the infamous, you know, one of two major Shane McMahon spots, the elbow drop onto the table. He took it, and he did it like a champ, and Taker took it very well. And I'll share my thoughts after you all, but, you know, I will share this. I don't think this should have been the beginning of the show. I think everything, because it seems like this is going to be the main event. It, you know, it's still a toss-up, but this being at the beginning of the show just really set the bar for the show because it was so good. But it wasn't, it was like the climax was in the beginning and everything else was just fell down. It kind of sloped. So let's start with Ryan tonight. So that first spot of Raw, what are your thoughts on that?
Insane. I felt like it was 2001 again, another Shane McMahon high spot for sure. But no, my biggest takeaway is, how did they live up to that at Mania? Mm. You know, I would have maybe saved a spot like that for Mania. I get why they did it to get us going and hyped up. But once again, like, how do you do more than that at Mania, especially inside of the cell without the falling through the top of the cell or over the cell? I don't think Shane McMahon has taken any Foley bumps. He did some wild stuff, but I just can't see in this day and age WWE them letting that happen. And especially if they have to, you know, load up the ring to pad it for him. You know, you got a whole show, like you said, it might be the main event. So you'd have a whole WrestleMania show where they wouldn't be able to work a certain area of the ring. So that's my biggest thing, is how they live up to that spot at Mania.
Mm-hmm. Andy, was the spot necessary?
You know, I think it was. The storyline between Undertaker and Shane is a bit of a mess, so you kind of have to overlook that and kind of look at the high spot, you know, think back to the crazy things Shane did. So, I mean, I think that was part of the intrigue, whether Shane could still do it, and they kind of gave that away, but I'm also with you in that they should have ended the show with that, because I think Raw kind of ended on a downer. So I think it would have been, yeah, best to really end on a high note.
Yeah, indeed. Derek, what's left? Did this draw any type of intrigue for you to want to watch the match? And but more importantly, did it add any type of sense or logic to the storyline?
It did. I could see that. I mean, I'm glad they did it when they did it, because, I mean, it kind of made the casual fan stay with Monday Night Raw, even though the rest of the show wasn't horrible, but it didn't live up to the beginning. But again, it's WrestleMania season, so they want to keep you sitting on your couch watching it. And it was fun to see, and I marked out when Shane was climbing the – I knew he was going to do that. I just knew something big, so I was happy to see it. I'm excited about the match. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to feel after the match or what goes down. But for the mark in me, it's just, I thought it was amazing. I loved it. Shane's going to do phenomenal. It's going to be a great match. Really looking forward to it, and that just kind of set the tone.
Yeah.
Who are we rooting for?
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll get to predictions.
I'm still not sure. I don't know.
Right. So, you know, I do this every time I have a roundtable discussion, and this time is going to be no different. I'm going to have some competitive WrestleMania trivia. So, with that being said, welcome back, Andy. And with that, the Ultimate Warrior lost the WWE Intercontinental title at WrestleMania to WrestleMania 5 to whom?
At WrestleMania 5, did you say?
Yes.
I believe that was Rick Rude.
Oh, it was Rick Rude. Great job. Point for Andy.
Yes.
All right. So next we have in Brooklyn, we have Zack Ryder defeating Chris Jericho. Okay. So somehow they're losing to other people. Is this okay? So first of all, let's even backtrack a little more. I don't know if people really are considering what the overarching purpose of this match is. This match is because out of every possible thing that they could have came up with AJ Styles and Chris Jericho, they chose, after the three-match series, they chose to have another match because Chris Jericho is upset that AJ Styles gets chance. I mean, just really think about that. Just, I'm going to wrestle you at WrestleMania because you get chance and I don't. What a horrible way to come up with an idea of such two amazing talents to fight for a fourth time. I'm going to, at the grandest stage of them all, because you get more chance than I am, but than I do, I'm going to challenge you at WrestleMania. Actually, Jericho, it got even more convoluted. I'm upset with you because you get more chance than I do, so I'm going to beat you up, and that's going to make you want to fight me again, but I've only won one match out of three, but no, I don't want to fight you again because you don't deserve me, but I've lost twice against you. So this is everything that's thrown into this feud right now, and somehow we're supposed to make any sense out of it. But another thing that we can't make sense out of is the fact that AJ Styles lost to Kevin Owens, who's the Intercontinental Champion, from distraction, but Jericho had to lose to Zack Ryder. Now, I understand Zack Ryder getting him some type of, you know, push, getting him some type of, you know, his character, some type of strength, because he did just kind of get thrown into that Intercontinental title match. But Andy, why Zack Ryder losing against Jericho? Why was it necessary for Ryder to defeat Jericho by pin leading into WrestleMania?
That is a great question. I have no idea what they're doing, because they're not really going to give Zack Ryder a rub. So there's no,
exactly.
You know, there's nobody actually thinks he's going to win the belt at Mania. Just to make Jericho look as foolish as possible, I guess, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it doesn't take much to do that, because he's lost to Fandango. He's lost to a lot of other worse, you know, much worse talent. You know, no disrespect to Fandango. He's, you know, but he's not.
Better not be.
That's Derek's boy for some odd reason. I have to agree with what you're saying. You know, he's not going to get the rub at WrestleMania, so it's just another Jericho pointless loss. I mean, you know, put that in the column with, you know, Jack Swagger and Fandango, and no disrespect. I mean, I like Max Sydal tremendously. He was a guest on the show, and he's junior tag team champion for IWGP now, but, you know, at that time, Evan Bourne beating Chris Jericho didn't really put Evan Bourne over, because he's not with the WWE no more. So it didn't really do much. By these Jericho wins doesn't really put them over, because he keeps losing. I mean, you know, Ryan and I, we've talked about that many times. So, Ryan, what did this do to help Zack Ryder?
Not much, because it had nothing – Like, the story of the match and the outcome was not about him. It was clearly about Styles and Jericho. And you, well, as you know, too, also, I'm a big main event guy. So, Ryder's been on a bit of a winning streak on main event. I'm probably, like, the only guy who watches main event. But, nevertheless, as I said, Ryder was just the third-party source in the storyline, and just, I don't know, it was just a throwaway thing. And as you said, Jericho's not too proud, and I'm sure he had no problems doing the job for Ryder. So, in the long run, he was just a piece of the story. That's just about it.
Isn't he always the piece of the story? The shorter.
Absolutely.
Piece of the story.
Yeah.
That's Jericho's career. So, speaking of that, who was the special referee in the Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund I Quit match in WrestleMania 11? Ryan?
Oh, I just watched this the other day. Hot Rod, Roddy Piper.
Indeed it is. Great job, Ryan. So you know who's next. So let's go on to...
Oh, man.
let's go on to Charlotte and Becky Lynch. Now, this is what I don't understand with Charlotte and Becky Lynch. So, Sasha actually won. Sasha actually beat Becky Lynch. Beat Charlotte last. It was at SmackDown. But for some reason, Becky doesn't get the win, though. So, is this, Derek, is this a way to kind of tell us that Becky actually may be more of an underdog and may pull it off at WrestleMania? Or is it just one of those things that Becky has been a really good workhorse, and she's earned her spot at WrestleMania, and that's it.
She's earned her spot at WrestleMania, and that's it. I don't see Charlotte losing the title. Becky Lynch, I mean, she's good at carrying the weight as far as, you know, just being the workhorse, like you just said, but I just don't really see Charlotte losing it. I mean, she's got a lot of heat and a lot of gumph behind her, so there's really no purpose to putting it on anybody else. And if they do, they're going to lose it back to Charlotte on Monday Night Raw. So I totally believe Charlotte's going to continue being the champion, and I think she's doing all right with it for a diva.
Mm-hmm. Not too bad. Yeah, not too bad as a heel. So, Derek, what WrestleMania was the first of the Undertaker versus Kane series?
WrestleMania 14.
Good job.
Yes.
14 it is. Indeed it is. Great job. So, speaking of WrestleMania 14, this has nothing to do with it, but the Big Show and Kane defeating Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas by disqualification. So the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal gets a pre-show spot again. And it looks like this is the thing. I mean, it's probably going to retain a pre-show spot. I honestly think it should be on the card. I think it's something that's, you know, monumental enough to be on the card. I'm really happy that they announced the 10 Diva. We'll get to the 10 Divas match, 10 Diva tag match. I'm really happy that they announced on Raw that's going to be a part of the pre-show, too. I was really happy when they said that. I'm like, there's no way that you'll have the Usos and the Dudleys be on the pre-show, but not some thrown-together Divas match. So, Andy, Big Show and Kane. Somehow Big Show and Kane stood tall, but last week Kane chokeslammed the Big Show. So did they? It only took them a week to make amends?
You know, it appears to be that way. I found the more even insulting thing was Curtis Axel wishing his dead dad a happy birthday, and then he got beat up like a minute later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I agree with that. Very, very much so. And the very fact that they still acknowledge Mr. Perfect being Curtis Axel's dad, but somehow his last name is Axel. And he went, and he, well, but it gets worse. He's actually adopted because, you know, he was born in McGillicuddy. So, you know, and somehow he got adopted and, you know, know, got adopted in his late, in his mid-30s, and, you know, he got adopted in the Axel family, whoever is a part of the Axel family. So, but, you know, he gives credence to his dad, you know, Kurt Hennig, and, you know, maybe that's going to, I mean, we'll get to predictions, but, you know, it really doesn't mean much to push the Andre the Giant Battle Royal as if it's a prominent spot, and it's really not. I mean, it's a yearly thing now, so you really don't have to spend a minute on that to push it, because it's on a pre-show and it's a yearly spot. Ryan, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon in-ring promo interrupted by Roman Reigns, and then the two fight, and then the Authority retreats. So, too much physicality leading into WrestleMania?
Absolutely. This was one of three physical segments, I believe, on one show. And they both have broken each other's faces numerous times.
Yeah.
I've noticed it's all been about their faces. And, yeah, it definitely has been too much physicality. Whereas you got like Ryback and Kalisto, I don't know if they've even touched each other leading up to that match. But it just shows that what else are you going to do when they don't let Roman Reigns speak as much?
Yeah.
I guess that's why there's been so much physicality. So, and that's a little scary if you want that to be your top guy. And we can sit here and maybe talk about, you know, I don't know if you're all the way on board yet with him turning heel, but I think it, I don't know how you do it at this point, but it would be nice. And to put him with somebody who can speak, I guess Heyman's the only guy out there right now for him. I don't know if Heyman's getting bored with Brock, or if Brock goes away after Mania, that'd give Heyman something to do, but I'd totally be on board for a heel turn, and I don't know about you, but yeah, I think the physicality has just been because they're not letting Reigns talk.
Yeah, which is a good thing that they're not letting him talk, finally, but I think it's probably too little too late. So Rikishi was on the show, and he even said that they should have turned him heel. Andy, do you agree?
I think the time, yeah, I think it's well past time. There's just so many good opponents Roman could face as a heel. He'd have Dean Ambrose coming up. He could, you know, Seth Rollins could be faced. Potentially The Rock down
Cesaro.
The line. Just, yeah, absolutely. There's Cena when he's healthy, but I just don't see much what he could do continuing as a face. It's just not working.
Derek, are you? Is it a clean sweep?
Yeah, I want him to turn heel. I mean, I think that'd be a lot better, easier character. I think that there is a lot of physicality going into WrestleMania. However, I mean, they're just trying so hard to pump up Roman. They want so many people to love him. But maybe they want to build him up, and then he turns heel and dupes everybody. I don't know. But, yeah, a heel turn would be the best thing, because I just think he's boring.
Yeah.
How? I just don't know how at this point.
How to turn him?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Have him win the title at Mania. Have him celebrate with The Rock. And just see, here's the thing. And I don't want to try to I don't want to spoil my predictions, but I'm just giving a suggestion. If Roman Reigns wins the title, if they make this the main event, I think that they can shock the world and do something really good and have a spike. I mean, they always have a spike in the Mania after Raw, but even a bigger spike potentially, because you have that cliffhanger like you had with Seth Rollins. I wasn't a big fan of Seth Rollins winning the title at Mania because they didn't build him right. Not because of Seth Rollins, because of his build. But it still left somewhat of a cliffhanger leading into Raw. Now, if Roman Reigns wins the title, Rock comes out and somehow helps him or something like that, you know, because first of all, you can tie in the Rock and Triple H feud that was supposed to be brewing for last year. If y'all remember, something that really made me highly upset, you have such a hard-fought match between Sting and Triple H, and he comes out a few segments later in suit, you know, to talk in the ring for Rock and Ronda Rousey. I was so upset about that. But at least you can tie in the feud. I know I know that Rock is under an insurance thing that it can't get physical, but I think what they could do is they can have somehow the Rock, you know, tie that in still from last year, you know, maybe a Rock bottom somehow, Roman Reigns wins, so he can get some pops because of a Rock win. They celebrate, the pyro comes off, the confetti, and all of a sudden, hard camera shot, boom, spear, and to the Rock. He gets booed like crazy. He walks out. Mania goes off, and then everybody's on Twitter. So that's to me, ideally, what could happen to really make him just a monster heel. Ryan, I mean, what do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely love it. I think Rock is the only way you can do it because I don't see a double turn happening because Triple H's promos the last few weeks have been so, like, anti anybody who lives in an apartment. So there's that. And then he can't, it's not like he can side with the Authority or anything like that. And we don't know the Shane McMahon and Undertaker outcome in that stipulation. So I think Rock is the only way, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Andy, what are your thoughts on that idea?
Yes, I'm definitely on board for that. Anything that keeps Roman away from, say, like joining the Authority, I have no desire to see that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Derek, heel turn.
Yeah.
Rania, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, you could also kind of throw it to where, you know, Roman Reigns is like, people booed me and this and that, tried to be your hero, and, you know, the Bret Hart thing, and now, you know, I'm tired of it, I'm sick of it, this is what you want, this is what you're going to get, and he just totally becomes one of the biggest heels of all time. So I can see that.
The thing is with that, but though, like, I see
that's
I
too
see
easy.
That. Yeah, I agree. I think it's too easy, and then we just don't need him on the mic. Just don't put him on the mic. Even if he doesn't have a mouthpiece, even if it's not with Heyman, which I don't necessarily like that thing, you know, Reigns-Heyman tandem, I'm not too big on that. If he did that against The Rock, he can come out the next day and not say much. He can come out, just be a no-nonsense heel, start spearing people like crazy, and just making a statement by his physical, you know, speaking. You know, he's speaking from his actions, and I think that he'd draw a bunch of heat there. So, here, speaking of heat, this is going to be a big question under fire. Okay, so here's to you, Ryan. I hope you get this one here. This pay-per-view did not feature one regular singles match. This WrestleMania.
Oh boy, you had to go there. It's got to be the worst WrestleMania. I don't care what anybody says. WrestleMania 16, WrestleMania 2000, it was the worst. I don't care. You can say 11, you can say 13. I don't care. It was the worst.
You are correct.
Nothing good about that except for the triple threat for the Intercontinental
Championship.
Yeah, and then in the triangle ladder match at the time. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I believe that was the first time a heel won in the main event, if I'm correct, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that made it worse anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
Well,
nobody can defend that pay-per-view.
Technically, Yoko beat Brett in 93, and then Hogan, you know, Hogan.
Then Hogan had to suck the oxygen out of him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Brother.
Yeah.
I'm sure he did, like, I'm sure in his mind he did about 115 million leg drops. Speaking of leg drops, we had a little leg hip action by the coach, which was very interesting. Kofi Kingston defeating Alberto Del Rio. So Ryan, since we're talking, so does this? I think the only win was Sheamus beating Kofi on SmackDown, I think it was like last week, but the New Day has been on these series of beating the League of Nations, and for somehow they quickly slid out, very subtly slid out the fact that it's not going to be for a title anymore. So does this all but confirm that the League of Nations is going over?
I don't think so because I think they didn't want to have the League of Nations use the Freebird rule. I think they wanted to keep that sacred for the New Day. Maybe that's I just can't see them turning New Day face for this just to have them lose. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. I mean, I that's the only reason I can think is they just, because if League of Nations wins, it would have to be the Freebird rule for them. And
yeah,
that's, I guess that's the only way. So that, but you are right. I don't understand why all of a sudden it was, oh, no, it's not a title match. We were just joking.
Right.
Just a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Derek, even to the point of deleting the tweet that they announced of it being a title match. So what was the point of just taking it out all of a sudden?
New Day, they're not going to lose a title anytime soon. And the League of Nations, I mean, especially with the inklings that Barrett's going to be leaving soon, I just think it's a faction. They're not going to stand the test of time. They're not going to be much of anything. So it's, you know, keep it on the New Day. New Day's got a good thing going. So why they announced it, tweeted it, and let it go, I mean, that's, you know, Triple H and Vince McMahon are probably the only two people that know that. And yeah, they go back on their words a lot. So it was silly. It was dumb. But, I mean, New Day's got this locked down.
Andy, do you see any type of this change in the, you know, outcome because of this revocation of the title stipulation?
I don't think so either. I just, League of Nations is just so dead as an act. I can't see them, like, keeping these guys around that much longer. And just, yeah, like you guys noted, New Day's babyface team, I think they're going to want to give them a lot of momentum. I'm sure they'll have a fun entrance and probably just keep them celebrating at the end of their match.
Will they come out of the helicopter?
I'm just picturing some sort of unicorn ride, but I haven't figured it out yet.
Well, that was Big E's. Big E's, you know, he wanted to come out of helicopter. So
maybe last year.
Yeah.
Open stadium.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. It's domed now. So
well,
I think it's retractable.
Retractable roof?
Yeah, it's retractable.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so, you know. But, you know, I'm sure that they won't, you know, I'm sure it's a very loud sound for the dome to come up. So they'll probably keep it closed. Because just the West Coast and the, you know, Pacific Coast WrestleManias, I just do not like. Just last year in California was horrible to me. Because you had, I mean, it just obliterated Sting's entrance and Bray Wyatt's entrance. It got a little bit darker when Taker came out, but it still wasn't dark enough. And just the lighting compared with just the natural light from the sun, it was just really awkward. It really made Sting's appearance really weird. So, Andy, what WrestleMania did Rey Mysterio win his first World Heavyweight Championship?
Okay, I can picture that in my mind. I know I saw it. I want to say WrestleMania 22. Oh,
indeed. WrestleMania 22. Great job. So since we're over in your corner, Andy, Kalisto defeating Connor. Speaking of main event, wasn't that a main event match, Ryan, not too long ago, or was it Superstars? Where Kalisto and Connor.
Yeah, it was one of the two, like within the last week or so.
I think it was like last week or something like that. Yeah. So Kalisto defeating Connor from the Ascension is probably the worst call ups from NXT. A Breeze is really struggling not to be last, but just the Ascension, as good as they were in NXT, and such a dominant tag team in NXT, I would have much rather seen them go back to NXT and feud with Enzo and Cass. To me, building the ascension up the last month and getting that win and putting Enzo and Cass over in a big high-profile match at Dallas, that would have been better for them, because if they're going to call them up, it just doesn't make sense to me for one, them losing at Roadblock after losing at London, and then two, not even being a part of Dallas. So how does that make sense in the bigger picture, Andy?
For the ascension to not put over Enzo and Cass?
Yeah, for Enzo and Cass to lose those two matches, Roadblock and London, and not be a part of Dallas, and potentially being caught up, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those guys definitely deserve it. They get over wherever they go. So I hope they don't meet the same fate as Tyler and the Ascension and Bo Dallas. But I don't know. Could be tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So Kalisto with this United States Championship, Derek, has it elevated, or has it, you know, when we speak of elevating this championship, it gets really tough because Cena did such a phenomenal job. I've been just anti-Cena for, you know, and I've made this very vocal. When Jericho put him over in 2002 is the first day I started liking John Cena. So, because I was such a, you know, still am, but at that time, you know, really a big Jericho fan. And he wasn't known, you know, as much as being notorious for putting people over. So it was relatively fresh. And then, you know, just John Cena just being polarizing. Never was a big Cena guy. But I tell you what, John Cena did a fantastic job in elevating that United States Championship to even being just about equal to the WWE Championship, because both titles were being defended. You know, during the feud with him and Rollins. So it's really tough to really meet that standard. But, Derek, is Kalisto coming in even minutely close to it?
No, not at all. And Kalisto, nothing against him. He's a great performer, but he just doesn't have that it factor that obviously John Cena has. Maybe they're, you know, Ryback will come in, take the championship and do something with it. I don't really see Ryback doing much of anything, because they've tried it so many times. You put the U.S. belt on them, it's not really going to make a hill of beans, you know, what happens afterwards. But, I mean, Kalisto, you know, I think Alberto was a better U.S. champion than Kalisto. It's just, Kalisto, nothing against masked wrestlers. I mean, Lucha Libres are phenomenal. But in WWE, just they don't have, I don't know, they hide too much. They don't talk. You just don't hear anything. Rey Mysterio is an exception, and that's about it. So Kalisto's nothing for the title. Ryback might try to do something with the title, but again, Ryback's Ryback, and they've given him some chances. It's still kind of lackluster.
Yeah. Who were the representatives in the hair versus hair match between Vince McMahon and Donald Trump?
Lashley and Big Show.
No, it was, as William Regal would say, Humanga. Yes.
Humaga.
Yeah, the Big Show. Somehow he was on your mind. So, next we have Paul.
Whatever, it was a stupid question.
He
was in a hair versus hair match, wasn't he?
Yeah, who, the Big Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, against Kurt Angle.
And then one where he had his own hair, right?
Yeah, it was Kurt Angle, yeah. That was the Kurt Angle match. And then Angle Edge was in one, too. That's the when he started wearing the headgear. Angle started wearing the headgear.
Well, he wasn't in one with Punk. He just demasked him after Punk had his cut his hair. Because wasn't it? Was it Punk and Mysterio? Was it
Mysterio?
Hair?
Yeah, that was that.
Okay, yeah. There we go. Gotcha.
No. It was I think it was that the one after WrestleMania, because I know that they had their series at WrestleMania, and I think it was at Judgment Day or whatever the May pay-per-view was after that. I don't think it was Extreme Rules. It may have been. But I'll look it up and see when it was. But, yeah, it was – yeah, you're right, because the Straight Edge Society started a few big shows at that time. And that's when the feud was. So Heyman and Lesnar, so you've had all this, speaking of physicality, you've had these weeks of physicality, Andy, and for some reason Ambrose comes out, he brings out his kitty red wagon, fills it up with very properly placed weapons. Somehow it just all fell into one. I don't know if it was just the wind that just kind of fell it, it just made it fall just perfectly in place. And he grabs those, and somehow he feels, he looks at the chainsaw. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, saw his arm off with this. Kudos to Brock Lesnar's mannerisms during this moment. He definitely had about two or three meme-like faces during this. But did this help anything?
No, this hurt it. It's so sad to see Brock Lesnar in this feud. For me, like last year, he was so, you know, Suplex City and all that. It was so great seeing him at Mania, and I am just not buying this with Dean. And like you said, that was a silly toy he came out with. I don't know why Dean, either he thinks it's a good idea or he just doesn't say like, no, that's stupid. My character would never do that. But it's just the match should be fine, but I'm just not excited about it.
Yeah. It was Over the Limit 2010. Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk, hair versus hair match. So, yeah, it was in May, Over the Limit at that time. So, Ryan, are you sold in, on the – I agree with Andy. This is such a – to me, this is a big step down for Lesnar. I really think it is. I wasn't sold on Lesnar Bray just because I think, you know, like I said before, I'm a traditionalist, so I believe in the art of the babyface and the heel. And if you're going to put heat on Lesnar, put heat on Lesnar. But, you know, what does this do? I mean, what is the payoff to this?
It would be huge if Ambrose won, because Brock hasn't been pinned in a couple of years now. But I don't see Dean Ambrose pinning Brock Lesnar unless there's some freaky halftime heat like ending with the forklift. Like, I don't know. Spoiler alert, part of me wants to pick Dean, but I'm like, there's no freaking way. Like, but I'm so confused on this match. It's just another one I'm confused on. So
yeah,
this is confusion mania for me.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one. Speaking of confusion mania, Emma defeated Paige, and we've got the mystery. I mean, they really build this as a mystery fifth person for Team Total Divas, and somehow Eva Marie comes out, and it was to probably one of the most lackluster, awkward crowd reactions in Raw history, because we're getting excited about who's this fifth person. Is it going to be, you know, is it Jackie? You know, is it Sable? Is it, you know, Wendy Richter, Leilani Kai? No, it's none of them. It's Eva Marie from NXT and from Total Divas. And it was just weird. She does the whole point, you know, Ryan and I have an inside thing as far as the debut. It's like when someone debuts, especially when someone returns, they have the I'm going to talk to the wrestler as if they're not going to know what I want to say, but I'm still on the ramp. I'm going to point to you. do the whole run in, do the run to them, the duck, you know, duck the punch, and, you know, start their series of punches, and the heel just kind of slides out, and somehow the babyface reaches over the ropes as they slide under the ropes, which makes no sense. But that's usually how it starts. E-Marie kind of did the whole talk and point thing, but just people were so just disengaged that people just didn't care. And she had so much heat as a heel, and it made it even more confusing for her to be on this team because she gets so much heat on NXT. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. What are your thoughts on that, Ryan, as far as the sense that this makes?
Here's the thing. It made sense from the team name standpoint, Total Divas, yada, yada. But this is what happens when you book for Total Divas. And not everybody watches Total Divas. Unfortunately, I'll admit it. I'll raise my hand in shame. I still watch it. But and the same can be said, like how they say not everybody watches NXT, so they don't know what's going on. There's people that seen Eva Marie come out, and they're like, what in the world is this? And they just immediately boo. And rightfully so, because she's probably the biggest heel they have right now. But I will say, the team Total Divas or whatnot, they did a darn good job of selling it. Like, hey, why are you here? What is this? So I give them credit for that. But it's still booking for another TV show that's not even one that you, I don't know, you don't fully produce. I'm sure the E! Network has a lot to say, too. But that's why you don't book for Total Divas, bottom line.
Yeah. But, Andy, here's the thing. There's recent reports that say that they weren't expecting that from Eva. They were expecting a positive reaction from a Brooklyn crowd because they're smart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I can't even imagine that. Like, I mean, Triple H must at least watch NXTs, but Vince McMahon, man, it's just unbelievable if he actually thought that was going to work.
Yeah, that was insane to even think. I mean, it just goes to show how much Vince just – I mean, there's been reports on it. It just rings true. I mean, Vince just really doesn't really care in that product. It just really – it just shows that he doesn't have much interest in NXT, sadly. Derek, Sami Zayn, Ziggler, and Sin Cara defeating Kevin Owens, Stardust, and Miz because Stardust and Miz walk out. Is this, you know, it kind of throws in the all for one type thing. You know, does this do anything to cause to increase your excitement for the Intercontinental title match?
No, it didn't do anything. And you see Miz walks off Stardust. I mean, these guys are irrelevant anymore. It did nothing. It makes no sense. I'm surprised that the Intercontinental match isn't going to be in the pre-show, which I'm sure they might even move that to the pre-show. But no, it did nothing. I mean, Dolph, Sammy, I like Sammy, but they just need to put a little more behind him. I mean, he's still there. He's still new and fresh. But as far as this leading up to WrestleMania, I mean, it did nothing. It was just filler. It was a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, who won the Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania 26?
Mm. Mm. 26. That was in Arizona. Oh boy. The Miz.
Jack Swagger.
Oh boy. I only said Miz because he was in the main event of 27, so I would have thought he cashed in.
No, he cashed in at Raw. He cashed in the Raw
before
after
he cashed in
surgery.
Before, you know, the lead up, yada, yada.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Yeah. And there were two, I think that was the same year that there were two Money in the Banks. Well, three. I think there were three Money in the Bank matches.
Oh, yeah, because they started the pay-per-view later, and that's probably what he won it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Miz won it, and then Miz and Kane won that year. So I think, Kane won the SmackDown. That was the one. That was the time he cashed it in the same time. And then Miz won the other, or it might have been Ziggler that won that year. I have to find it out. That was what, 2000
and Ziggler had to be later because did he cash in the day after like 28 or maybe?
Yeah,
29?
Yeah,
I don't think
but
it was
he kept
that
it,
late, but 28.
But he kept it for like 9 months. I mean, him and Edge are the ones
yeah.
that kept it for, you know, that long. Rollins kept it for a while too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So real quick, let's get to the final. Triple H and Seven Man, and they come back out, and Roman Reigns, and they fight each other again. And then the locker room comes out to break the fight up. Andy, so again, I asked Ryan this question. Let me ask you this. Is it too much physicality in this leading up to this feud?
Almost any other year, I would say yes. Like, you know, back in the day, Rock and Austin, I wanted them kept apart. But I just don't see how else. You book Roman versus Triple H, except the only great or good promo I've ever seen from Roman was the one after the Royal Rumble getting set up for WrestleMania, and it was like a sit-down interview with Paul Heyman. So I just don't know how you work around him without getting physical, but I could go either way.
Who retained the Unified Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania 26, Andy?
Oh, wow. Unified Tag Team Championship. I'm struggling to even think of a tag team from that time. I'm just going to go. This is way off. I'm going to go Crime Time.
Crime Time never
won. Was it?
I figured.
Go ahead,
Big
Ryan.
Show and Miz?
Was it,
Big
you
Show
said
Miz?
Show and Miz?
Yeah.
Show and Miz is indeed the correct answer.
Awesome. No pun intended.
Yes. Great job. Fantastic.
Embarrassing.
No.
I seriously don't know how I remembered that one. I don't.
It's Show Miz. So, 2008. Yeah, Money in the Bank. I'm still trying to find some information about. So Swagger, and then Miz won the Raw, and then Kane won the SmackDown. So yeah, it was Kane. So, all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the Flavor of the Week, and then the predictions.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
All right. So WrestleMania 25, real quick, we're going to go title changes 25 to 31, and then each of you are going to let us know the most poignant or the most memorable for your thoughts to tag team title change. So Mysterio beats JBL. At 25, in like 20 seconds to win the Intercontinental Championship. And also, John Cena defeated Edge to win his umpteenth World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, that Cena and Edge match was pretty good, actually. It was actually pretty, Cena's known for putting on some good matches. I will give him that. So, 26, you have... Batista losing to Cena, another Cena win. And then, of course, the question I just said, Show Miz winning the Unified Tag Team titles from John Morrison and R-Truth. Actually, isn't that interesting? Yeah, actually, they retained him. Sorry, they retained him from John Morrison and R-Truth. And so... 27, you have 27, the title changes I don't think there were any, actually, for 27. Yeah, no, there weren't any for 27.
Wow.
Very interesting there. Yeah, that's when the Miz retained. We thought there were going to be one with the Miz and Cena, but nothing happened. So, and then next year at 28, We had Cody Rhodes losing to Big Show. Of course, the 18-second match between Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. Sheamus winning the World Heavyweight Championship. Big Show getting his WrestleMania moment and them kind of plugging the Aki Bono thing on him as well. That was, Aki Bono, he's always a good person to bring up when it talks about WrestleMania. 29, of course, Cena defeating The Rock to regain the World Heavyweight Championship. And that was it as far as the main show for 29. And then 30 was the New Orleans Silverdome. And then for 30, you had Orton losing to Daniel Bryan. That was the whole, Bryan winning, of course, the streak ending. But that was it. Daniel Bryan winning. And that was the only, other than the Divas Championship, that was really it. I mean, there wasn't a lot of title matches. I mean, it wasn't really a title match heavy promoted WrestleMania, interestingly enough. And then finally, last year, WrestleMania 31, the title changes that we witnessed at that event were Rusev losing to John Cena, Daniel Bryan winning the Intercontinental Championship. So let's start real quick with Andy. What's your most memorable title change from those?
Out of those, I would go Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, just because I remember watching that live and being very angered and confused with what was going on.
Ryan?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, it shows what they thought of him then, to give him 18 seconds, and then fast forward to this week, he just had a network special about how special he was. So you got to go with that one.
Derek?
I'd say the same thing, but honestly, I think Cena versus Edge at 25 was probably my, as far as matches and just in-ring character goes, that was great.
Yeah, I'm actually Daniel Bryan last year winning the Intercontinental Championship, because that was his last title. So, all right, real quick, we have like 2 minutes, but let me do a toss-up question. It's 2-2 right now. Derek has one, Ryan has two, Andy has two. Toss-up question, really quick. Who won, and this is first come, first serve, who won the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal at 25?
Santina.
Yes, Ryan, great job. He is the
Santina
this week. We will come back with it next week. Santina is the winner. All right, predictions real quick. Pre-show, Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Andy, who you have?
Big Show.
Derek?
Kane.
Ryan?
Somebody who hasn't been announced yet, some returning superstar.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Nice. Usos, Dudley's, Ryan?
The Usos.
Oh, I have Bray for the Andre. Derek?
Dudley's.
Andy?
Usos.
Usos for me, too. Bad and Blonde or Total Divas, Andy?
Total Divas.
Ryan?
Bad and Blonde, Lana gets the pin.
Derek?
She's in
Bad and Blonde.
Total
yeah,
Divas for me,
match.
Too.
Yeah, she is.
Okay. Kalisto Ryback. Anybody has Kalisto?
Nope.
Everybody Ryback? Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody have Triple H?
No.
Okay. Roman Reigns? Shane Taker. Who has Shane?
I'm just going to say it's going to be a circus like Triple H and Sting last year. I still don't know who's going to win, but it's going to be a circus.
Okay, who has Ambrose?
I do. Me. Right. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Ambrose will win.
All right, who has anybody but Charlotte? Okay. I have Sasha. We talked about New Day League of Nations. Who has the New Day?
I'll take New Day. Yep.
New Day.
Me too. Yeah, they rock.
I'll take League of Nations. Who has anybody but Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental?
I'm going Sami Zayn so they can keep going after this, him and Owens.
All right, I have Owens. So Styles, Jericho, real quick. Anybody, Jericho?
Styles.
No. All right. Thank you all. God bless you all. We will see you next week. Enjoy WrestleMania. God bless. Goodbye.